Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast President's Cup review for day two, and it was a crazy one yet again. So let's bring in the team. First, I'll start by welcoming in Mark Immelman. Mark, I was writing the American's obituary. I had the script ready to go. And then like with 30 minutes to go in this thing, the last couple of holes, I had to burn it. And the U.S. team pulls out a split 2.5 points to 2.5 points, which certainly felt like a win with the way this whole thing shook down.
Isn't it crazy? I mean, it's what we love about sport, and it's what we love about golf. And we actually talked about this in our podcast yesterday. And the reference was that, look, the United States team's got to make a run, and it's up to the internationals to weather the proverbial storm. Given the record that they've had in foursomes in this President's Cup, even though everything went down over the final hour of play, which was incredible, I got to tell you. I mean, what riveting viewing, and how awesome for the President's Cup and for the fans in Australia. Weathering the storm, still coming out of this foursome session with a 2.5 to 2.5 tie. I think all in all, if you look back at this thing with an ounce of perspective and a little time, the internationals will be like, all right, we still in decent shape over here.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, we'll welcome in Kyle Porter. And Kyle, it's now 6.5, 3.5. So the internationals still have a lead in this thing, but it feels a lot different because, I mean, there was literally a time, during the telecast that, you know, the international team easily could have won all five matches or very, very easily. This could have been 8-2. After day two foursomes here. So, the lack of energy was not lacking for the American team today. They seemed to bring it a little bit, and they got away unscathed here, I think.
It felt like both teams won the session 5-0 somehow.
Yeah.
Like it felt like the internationals won the first 3.5 hours of it 5-0, and then somehow the Americans won all five matches at the end. I know that's not actually what happened, but man, think about the difference in, and we were just talking about it before we came on here, but the difference in those three putt. I mean, I know we can't reduce all this stuff to like one putt in each match, but if Cantlay misses, if JT misses, and if Ricky misses at the end, think about what what would the score, that'd be, what is that? I can't do the math. 8-2, something like that.
Going
into day three, and that'd basically be a wrap. Like, you're not coming back from 8-2. So, man, I am pumped about tomorrow. I never thought I would say that about day three of a President's Cup, but I am fired up after the JT stuff. I mean, Hideki and Ben On were awesome. It was just, I had a blast watching. I thought it was a lot of fun, and I'm excited for the next 2 days.
Yeah, we're going to go through each one of these matches one by one here. But before we do that, I just have a couple of quick things off the top. Kyle, we'll stay here with you because you had tweeted something about this. That putt that so JT buries a putt on 18 to win the match for Tiger and Justin Thomas. And I thought those guys looked like pretty emotional in the interview afterwards, like almost moved to tears, right? Like, am I seeing that? They looked very emotional.
No, they were, and you know, it's got to be difficult to basically drag 10 other guys around Royal Melbourne for a couple of days. They're basically the only ones that have showed up, but No, that was really interesting. It has to be. I mean, the Tiger thing is interesting because we've seen this from him over the last couple of years where he kind of takes guys under his wings, but then you're like, not really, but is he still? I don't know. That whole aspect of it is strange. But for JT, I mean, somebody tweeted this out, like, what is it like to look up and see this dude that you grew up idolizing running at you and basically praising you for winning this match and saving he didn't say these words, but he kind of said, like, saving the event. I mean, that has to be kind of an overwhelming thing, even in the moment. And, that was cool. JT is, I think he's the heart of the team. And, it was cool to see him get that. I mean, he's the man. Like, I know we've been talking about, not to bring him up again, but I know we've been talking about Spieth for the last 5 or 6 years in terms of being like the guy in American golf. We might have had the wrong guy. I think it might be JT.
I got to say this. He is 9-2-1 in his President's Cup career, Justin Thomas. I mean, can we rename Captain America? I mean, this dude is legit. We all know it, and he proved it today because you've heard the saying, cometh the moment, cometh the man. Well, he did. And can you imagine living – you talked about Tiger Woods coming toward you, right? How about just playing alongside that guy and all the hubbub that's going around Woods all of the time? To deal with that stuff, man, you have got to have some stuff about you, and Justin is just taking all of it in his stride, and he came through when he needed to.
It really has been impressive. And what I was actually, I have one note, Mark, for that I have a star next to for the international squad. And speaking of impressive, what I've been so impressed with is what feels like the preparation that this international team has put together. We've talked about Ernie and his strategy that he will reveal Sunday night or whatever, but it seems to me that they have this course so well thought out. They know the areas to miss in. While on the American side, it looks like a lot of guys hit a putt and they start scratching their heads, or they take routes that you're like, there's no way that ball was ever going to stop there. Like, even the guys in the booth know this. Like, it just seems like the international team is not only outplaying the Americans, but they're also well more prepared for this event.
Well, preparation was a word that Ernie Els used in his first round press conference 4 or 5 times. I heard him say it, and he's talked about the preparation and his plan and all this sort of stuff. And he's intimately familiar with this golf course. He's still the course record holder around the composite course. And I want to give some nod to Jeff Ogilvy, who this place, he knows this like the back of his hand. And I think he's had a lot of insight to the preparation also. And then, you know, the internationals, a few of them were down here playing the Australian Open last week. And then they all showed up on premises on Monday, when it was firm, fast, sunshiny, and the wind was blowing in the opposite direction, not the wind we've seen in the tournament. And the Americans sort of played it off by going, well, thankfully the wind's not going to blow in that direction. I got to be honest with you. During that time, when you got a guy like Ernie Els and a guy like Jeff Ogilvy and guys that have played this a lot, going around the golf course, helping you to chart this place because it was very quiet, I think that's been part of their success because they got that one extra day just to prepare.
Yeah,
real quick on that. I thought so. Noline Up pointed this out on Twitter, and I thought it was a really good point. You could see what you're talking about on number 11, the kind of drivable par 4, where every international player was down, and it looked like they were dead, right down by the below the bunkers, like kind of below, like with the pin kind of tucked back to the left.
Yep.
And it looked like where you didn't want to be, but it was actually exactly where you wanted to be because you could throw it way over the bunkers, hit it up against the slope, and let it feed back down. And the Americans, they were like head on, and they couldn't get the pitches right. And like I think that's a really good example of having a great plan and executing it really well. And you saw that throughout, and I thought that was probably the best example of it.
Yeah, Lions, Kyle, you heard Justin Thomas in his post-round comments say to Tiger they were walking up the fairway on 18. He's like, man, I thought I blew that thing way right. I obviously haven't played here enough because he was just off the edge of the fairway.
Yeah.
Left front hole location. It was the perfect angle for Woods. And that's just more of this Alistair McKenzie design and how, you know, if you know the place and you understand the angles, you might hit it in spots that don't look like they might be right when you stand back on the tee.
Yeah. All right, let's jump into this. So first match out today, Adam Scott and Louis Oosthuizen win 3-2 over Matt Kuchar and Dustin Johnson, which, you know, the U.S., Kyle, goes 2-up through 5, and then the international team runs off 6 of the next 9 holes. Dustin Johnson now 0-2 in this year's President's Cup. Any concern specifically about DJ moving forward, or did he just run into buzzsaw that is Adam Scott and Louis Oosthuizen?
I think there's a little concern. I mean, even going back to the Ryder Cup last year, he lost, I think, 2 or 3 of the team play matches there. And he just hasn't, I don't know. I don't know if it's, you know, we talked about energy yesterday. He didn't normally have a ton of it. That shouldn't matter, but he's not been playing well. And look, like, you know, Adam Scott and Louis Oosthuizen played fine. DJ and Kuchar gave away a lot of holes. I mean, they had, of the 6 holes that the international team won, the U.S. team bogeyed 4 of them. And so it's not like, you know, and Louis kind of said it afterwards. He's like, well, you know, the way this course is playing, you just have to make pars. And I was like, I don't think it was the course. I think that was DJ and Kuchar that were just, I mean, they were just handing out holes like they were on Oprah or something, just giving gifts for Christmas. I mean, it was unbelievable.
It is the holiday season, Kyle. It's only fair for them to be handing out presents like this.
Yeah, Mac Daddy DJ Santa or something. But yeah, it wasn't that was unimpressive, because I didn't feel like the internationals went out and earned that one.
Yeah, it's a really good point about, you know, like winning holes with par is not something, Mark, that's, you know, very sustainable in a match play format. If you're losing holes and just giving it away, you're in big trouble. You know, Louis Oosthuizen has yet to play 17 or 18 this week. You know, is there anything in his game? I mean, the match play success is well documented. What is it about this guy that it seems that no matter the format, whether it's four ball or foursomes, he's getting it done?
Well, his easygoing demeanor is one. I mean, I've known Louis since he was knee-high to a grasshopper, and I've been thankful to be able to teach the guy, you know, back in the day. And obviously the golf swing is special. He hits the ball very flush. His distance control is good, and he doesn't play with a whole lot of spin, which on a golf course like this is right up his alley, because you can sort of guarantee what the first bounce is likely to do. It might not dig in there, and so, you know, the conditions favor him. He's just an easygoing dude who plays well with anybody. But I think the mental acumen of him is the great golf swing belies how mentally acute he is in the golf course. And just to that winning with pars thing, you know what? You got to do what you got to do in match play. Now, if this was stroke play, they may try and attack in different places and such. But if you got to join a guy who just plays badly under the tough conditions, well, you don't go do anything rash. And so I'm sure if he gets up against, or someone gets up against someone else who's playing a bit better, then perhaps the decision making may vary and you play a bit more aggressive in certain spots.
Yeah, that's a great point. Just taking what not only the course gives you, but taking what your playing opponents are giving you as well. Very, very interesting stuff. Match number 2, Joaquin Niemann and Adam Hadwin fall to Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. This was really the pivotal match, Kyle. You know, we knew by the time they got to 18, Adam Scott and Louis had already won. It was looking like, I don't know if Anser and Leishman had already closed it out, but if they hadn't, they were going to. So when Cantlay buries that 14-footer on 18, gives us the big fist pump, this is where it felt like it turned around, and then the rest of the American guys said, okay, this was like the turning point of day 2.
Yeah, and I got some tweets to delete, because I said that that Cantlay and Xander should be broken up early on. They just, I don't know, it's the same stuff as yesterday. There's wasn't a ton of energy, but they hung in, and Cantlay's kind of low key, like cold, like just wants to like just, you know, go for the jugular like all the time. And I kind of love that. I don't think Xander's like that, but you saw it a little from, I mean, Cantlay had some stuff to say after he made the putt on 18, which was a delight. I loved it. I thought that was actually going to happen at the Ryder Cup last year in Paris. He didn't end up on that team, but yeah, I mean, that it was, people will remember the JT putt, but I think people should remember the Cantlay putt, because that was the one And he even mentioned it afterwards. He's like, we gotta turn this around, and I hope that's the putt to do it.
He did mention that. And, you know, this was back and forth. Neither side, I don't believe, was ever more than one up at any point. A lot of lead changes here, a lot of ties, it was just back and forth. Mark, on paper, this should not have been that close. You know, Adam Hadwin, Joaquin Niemann, fine players in their own right. But Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, this to me is the team that I think can really make a difference moving forward. In that post round interview today, I don't know if you guys caught this, Cantlay kind of alluded to the fact that they're playing together both sessions tomorrow. He said something like, we've got two more tomorrow. And I took that as a Xander Patrick Cantlay comment, not necessarily an American comment. So I think this team is really important for the U.S. For the next couple of days.
Oh, there's no doubt. And I tell you what, that putt that Patrick made in the final hole, and let's not discount, you know, the saves that they made coming in there just to give themselves a chance on 18 to win the match. The putt that he made was great for the 1 point. That was huge at the time because it was finally some red on the board for the United States. And then also, if somehow Hadwin and Niemann take out Cantlay and Schauffele, that's like, I won't say the heart of the U.S. lineup. That's Tiger Woods and Justin Thomas. But if you put the saber to those dudes and then have Tiger and Justin Thomas happen to lose, then you basically have slayed the beast. And then you've taken away the morale of the U.S. team, because everyone knows, all the pundits are talking about it, all the podcasters are, the players are talking too, that Cantlay and Schauffele are a stud team. And if they had lost twice, that would have been a big deal. So for him to pull out that win, that was big points-wise, but it was huge just for the morale of the team, I think, too.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So I'm that is one storyline, especially for tomorrow, to see if those guys can build on this momentum and kind of get back to the form that we would expect those two to play in. Match number three, Abraham Anser and Mark Leishman beating Captain America. I guess we might have to rescind that. Patrick Reed and Webb Simpson. Kyle, this the big moment here that, you know, a 3-2 victory for the international. I mean, it was pretty straightforward. They beat them. But the moment here is Patrick Reed finally listens to the international crowd, gives them, you know, makes a putt on, I believe it was 11 to tie the hole, pulls out the shovel celebration, kind of owns the whole heel thing. Doesn't necessarily work or look great when you're still two down at that moment.
Yeah, look, here's the deal. Never again should anyone who's a captain use a captain's pick on Patrick Reed. If he makes the team, whatever. You can't do anything about it. Like if he makes it on points and plays his way into it, that's fine. But
Kyle, careful. This might not age well if he makes the winning point on Sunday. I would go easy right now, brother.
But don't, come on. This guy this is a joke. Like, what are you doing? It's not funny. It's not like, I feel like he is, it's not helpful. Like, I think he thinks it's helpful, like the stuff in Scotland was in 14, right? You're like, oh yeah, that's helpful. That's great because you're playing well, you're rolling, you got Spieth, you got all this stuff. And right now it's like, you're taking away from everything else. JT's the heart of the team. And I think Reed thinks he is. And it's just, the whole thing is kind of a mess.
You know what, Rick? I'd promised myself I wasn't going to say anything about it, but I'm going to say something about it. I looked at this and laughed, and I was like, it's a moment of levity. The guy's poking some fun at him. I don't know, the situation, whatever. The gallery members close to the 11th green laughed because he was in our coverage there. So I don't know. Was it right? Sure. Whatever, man. The stuff's happening in the heat of battle. A bunch of folks took to Twitter as they normally do. Man, it's Reed. We sort of expect the stuff. And I wouldn't be surprised. Look, he's not playing real well right now. But I wouldn't be surprised if he gets the bench in one session tomorrow. And that sort of wakes him up and he comes out tough when singles rolls around.
Yeah, I'm pretty torn on the Patrick Reed stuff at the moment. I think I am all in favor of him being full heel, leaning into that role. It's just really tough to pull off when at the time, yeah, they were two down. The Americans were like losing every single match. It looked more kind of mockery than, just trying to like amp everybody up or whatever he might have thought it was. But on the other side of this, we are getting some really great golf out of Abraham Answer, Mark.
Yeah.
And he mentioned after the rounds, he said, you know what, when you hit fairways, or Mark Leishman might have said it, you know, when he puts me in the fairway every time, it makes a big difference. And this guy's really putting himself on a stage right now.
Yeah, how would they say in Spanish or in Mexico? Cajones?
Yep.
That, yes, C is what I have to say. I mean, Abe Answer, he's got that sort of, his nickname is El Turco, so which is like the Turk. He's got that sort of a Middle Eastern kind of look about him. He looks like a movie star, really. He's about 5'7". And I'll tell you a quick story. Mexico earlier this year, I was covering feature groups there for PGA Tour Live, and he was playing alongside Tiger Woods, as you would expect. And Woods was doing Tiger things, and and Abraham Answer hung in there. He didn't back down whatsoever. The crowds were going bananas for him down there in Mexico, and he looked like he was taking it all in stride. And that's when he turned my head, because he had won an event in Australia, but he certainly wasn't, you know, a big dog, if you will. But the way he dealt with the Tiger Woods hubbub was impressive to me. And it doesn't surprise me in the slightest when you toss him into the middle of the mayhem and he comes out smelling like a rose.
Yeah, he's been really good, Kyle. There always seems to be one of these guys. Every time we do this match play, every time we open up the international stage, that goes out, wins three or four times, whether it is in kind of, you know, buzzsaw fashion, or whether it ends up being like a very important moment. This feels like it's Abraham Answer's week to kind of get elevated onto this stage and be one of these guys, assuming he can continue to keep it rolling for the next couple of days.
Yeah, I think it's more so just proof of who he is than it is like a revelation of sorts. I mean, you go back, so he was TA'd at Travelers. Remember he contended at the Players for a little bit? And you're like, oh, is he going to take down Rory? And then he finished T12. But he goes TA'd at Travelers, second at the Northern Trust. I forgot about that. And then he goes T4 in the fall at the China event and T8 at Mayakoba. So he's like legit contending at some of the biggest events on the PGA Tour. And I think, you know, guys like him get a little lost throughout the year because he's not one of your, you know, mega stars or whatever. But he's been great this week. It's been a lot of fun. He's like way into it, which is cool to see.
I like that a lot.
And he's fun to watch. I really like him a lot.
Cool. All right, match number four. This was your big boy. So this is Hideki Matsuyama and Benny On going up against Tiger Woods and Justin Thomas. You know, JT was a little slow, Kyle, in round number one or day number one. Certainly showed up today, especially burying the putt on 18. You know, we kind of talked about it. We talked about how emotional these guys were, but, this was a big match and these guys are pumping the blood through this entire U.S. team. I don't know if Tiger, can he sit himself at this point? I mean, where are we at?
I don't know. I don't know if he can. I mean, I don't know if he wants to. I mean, For most of the first part, so they went up, I've got it right here. They went up, two up through five, and then they lost a couple holes because Hideki and Ben On started making birdies. But look, Tiger looks like the best guy here. I mean, I know people were like hollering about that on Twitter, but it's true. I mean, the shots he's hitting, JT, I don't know, he wasn't like, I mean, the putt at the end, obviously, we talked about that, was incredible. He wasn't at, like, peak JT, like, throughout the round, I didn't feel like. I thought he still left a little bit to be desired, but I thought Tiger was fabulous again. They had a great up and down on the back nine. I can't remember what it was, 13, 14, something like that. That was just unbelievable.
15.
15, yeah, there you go. So it was unbelievable. Oh, yeah, the par five. It was unbelievably impressive. And, they're fun to watch. There's a ton of energy. They're like the opposite of Cantlay and Xander in terms of energy. I mean, there's so much energy there, and it's a blast. It's been really cool. I errantly said last night I thought JT and Ricky should be together. I might be walking that one back. I think JT Tiger's pretty good.
All right. Well, spoiler alert. I just got the pairings for tomorrow. You might not have known these yet, so we'll save that for a second because we'll talk about it. Mark, you know, I'm a big Benny On guy. But what I also love about both him and Hideki, especially in this type of format, is when they're on, they're so on, right? Hideki just stuffs one to like 2 feet. Like he can just almost win you a hole from the middle of the fairway, unlike a lot of guys can do. And we have not talked about Hideki a lot, in the 2 days that we've been doing this podcast, but, he's now one and one, but I feel like he is still such a crucial part to this team.
He certainly is. And Kyle referenced the quick start that the Americans got off to, and Hideki and Ben looked a little ragged early, and there were sort of blustery conditions going on, and the Americans are 2 up through 5, looking like they could have been more, honestly. And then Hideki makes a clutch birdie on 6, after a decent wedge shot by his partner. Then on 7, the Americans are in there tight. Hideki makes a birdie to tie the hole. And then on 8, he makes a big putt to win the hole with a par. And he just, like you say, just showed up. But he's top quality. We know that. And we've seen him win on difficult golf courses. You know, the Memorial springs to mind. And his record in the President's Cup is handsome. So he's a super player. He's world class. Everyone knows it. The team room know that he's one of the elder statesmen, and he'll be one of Captain Else's go-tos when Sunday afternoon rolls around. But Ben On acquitted himself great, and this was a great match. We had it on the PGA Tour live coverage, and the Americans hung in there, coming down the stretch to sort of keep this thing in position for them to get that late birdie and win. But just to Kyle's point, I want to say this. Justin Thomas called Tiger Woods the greatest iron player in the world, and playing alongside him makes it easy. That was basically me paraphrasing Justin Thomas. This golf course is very much a second-shot golf course. And so with Tiger swinging the way he is, with him making putts, he made some clutch putts on the backside too. You know, he just is cutting a pretty imposing figure right now. And body willing, I guess, is my observation. Tiger Woods needs to play because he is looking all the part right now.
All right. Well, I'm going to put a pin in that because we're going to talk about the pairings for tomorrow. But before we do that, real quick, the fifth and final match. This is last one out, last one to finish. Cam Smith, Sungjae Im, split this match with Ricky Fowler and Gary Woodland. You know, the international team was 2 up with 3 to play. Kyle, the U.S. grabs 16 and 17. This was, Ricky's approach on 18 wasn't great. Woodland's putt on 18 wasn't great, but they ended up squeaking out a half a point, which this, you know, if the international team's able to win this one, probably feels like a big winning session for them. If the U.S. team wins this one, probably feels like a steal and a really big session for the U.S. team. They have it and everybody walks away happy.
Yeah, so they had Fowler and Woodland had, I think, one birdie. And I guess they had one birdie through their first 8 holes, which means that Gary Woodland had one total birdie for his first, I think, 23. I think they played 15. I think he played 15 with DJ on day one. So they finally got it going at the end. And look, when it was going, it looked awesome. Like they were, I mean, they were hitting it tight. They were making putts. They're two really, when they're locked in, they're two really impressive iron players. And it was cool to see them, you know, kind of close at the end. But it didn't look good early on. It was tough for those first 7-8 holes. But, yeah, good on them for turning it around and getting another half point for the U.S.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick.
Yes, sir.
You said you're driving the Sungjae Im train. Well,
that's
I am.
Right.
Conductor, brother, because this is legit. He's like a freaking assassin. I mean, every ball he hits is online. He made some clutch putts coming in there. I think of the par 5 where Fowler was in there tied after a beautiful wedge, and Sungjae makes it from 15 feet to top them. And this guy has got it all. And I was listening to a bunch of sound from the international team.
Yeah.
And they asked him the question, so who's the most valuable international player, or who's the, who's the guy to keep an eye on? And every single one of the folks said Sungjae Im. So
every single one. That's exactly what I was just going to bring up to you. I mean, it's one thing to watch this guy play, because when you watch him, he's absolutely awesome. It's another thing when his peers, not only on this international team, who say he is just the absolute real deal, but even like when he was coming off the Korn Ferry Tour, and everyone was like, who out of these graduates? And everyone's like, Sungjae. It's just like every time his name pops up amongst his peers, they are heaping praise on him. And I'm just like, yeah, it makes complete sense. He's unbelievable.
I made a point of going to watch him play some in the practice round at the Tour Championship earlier this year. He obviously made the final 30 en route to the Rookie of the Year campaign. And you know, you see certain people that'll blow you away with the sound of the strike, like a Sen Stenson or a Tiger, you know, where they just hit the ball flush. But Sungjae, he's powerful, he's sneaky long, but the ball just gets hit so square. And the thing is like raw spaghetti through the air. The trajectory doesn't move. I mean, you guys love the Pro Tracer stuff. Well, he's the most boring Pro Tracer guy you've ever seen, because it's like dead time. And then he puts on top of that. He just doesn't have a weakness. And I mean, the future is just so bright. He must just stay healthy.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I had one more note. We'll throw it back to you, Kyle, because you made this point. I think Gary Woodland has to sit. I think that the guy that every time I see him putt, he's scratching his head. I don't think he's figured this course out. You mentioned he's got, what, one birdie over the course of this thing. I think it's time for Gary to find the bench.
Yeah. I agree. I love the way the last three or four holes, he looked good. Some of that was just him making putts that Fowler left him like 4 feet away. So I don't disagree with that. I mean, I don't know. Like Reed and – I know we're going to talk about this in a minute, but Reed and Webb, I don't feel like they've looked that good. And maybe that's a playing together thing. I don't know what that is, but I would maybe look in that direction, which obviously Tiger did not, as we'll talk about here in a few minutes.
That's the perfect cue. So we're going to talk about the pairings for tomorrow. It'll be morning four ball. But real quick, we're going to take a break and hear a word from our sponsors.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, welcome back. So we've got morning four ball action. Remember, two sessions tomorrow. So 4 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. It'll be a long day for us. But let me just read you off, the matchups. These are hot off the presses here. So, match number one, international squad will be Mark Leishman. And finally, we will get to see Hao Tong Li, his first session of the week, going up against Justin Thomas and, drum roll please, Ricky Fowler.
Mm.
Okay. So no Tiger there. Second match out will be Sungjae, and Abraham Answer. going up, I'll slip it in every once in a while. Going up against Xander and Patrick Cantlay, so those guys staying together, seems like we were going to get that. Match number three, Hideki and CT Pan, the bread man, going up against Patrick Reed and Webb Simpson, rolling them right back out again. I'm surprised by that. We'll talk about
Unreal.
It. And then match number four, Adam Scott and Benny on versus Matt Kuchar and Tony Finau. So that leaves us on the international side without Louis, without Cam Smith, without Adam Hadwin, and without Joaquin Niemann. And on the U.S. side, it is without Tiger, who's going to take his rest, Bryson, Kuchar, and Gary Woodland. Unbelievable is the word that you just used, Kyle, to describe Patrick Reed and Webb Simpson rolling back out there.
Wow. Let's start here, because in case Kyle just blows the fuse before we get to match number four.
I think sitting out for the U.S., I think it's Tiger, Bryson, DJ, and wait, who is it?
Oh, it's got to be DJ. Sorry, yeah, so it's DJ and Woodland.
Okay, so DJ and Woodland sitting out with Tiger and Bryson. Bryson might not play again.
Might not.
Reed and Webb, I don't know, man. Like, I don't.
You know, you realize they were 2 under par alternate shot today when they lost. So it wasn't like they were playing poorly. If you're under par around there, you're playing well.
I just don't know if it's working. I don't mind them playing, like, as individuals. I thought Webb, obviously, great Ryder Cup last year. He's been great all fall. Reed's been hot all fall. I don't really mind them playing over, like DJ, who's been, you know, off, Woodland, who hasn't looked very good, Bryson, who's just seems like kind of a mess. I just don't know about them together. Like, why not go Webb and Finau and then Reed and Kuchar if you're going to play all four of those guys? I just break them up. It's not working. I don't get that.
Mark, I think what we're seeing is that both of these captains have a strategy, and after every single day, they are digging their heels in, and they are just sticking with it. The international squad for the third pairing, no one's playing together that we've already seen, I don't think, right? No, Hideki and CT Pan played together, and Adam Scott and Benny on, but Leishman's going to get a new partner, and Sungjae is going to get a new partner. And the U.S. side, you know, is rolling out almost similar pairings. I mean, this is clearly seems to be a strategy that these captains have decided to stick with.
Well, I went through the stuff this morning for the foursomes, and every one of Captain Els's groups. I didn't look at the American team, given that I'm sort of the international correspondent, I figure. These were all guys that had played in his pods together in the practice rounds. And the one thing Captain Els has remained true to is that he's stayed with guys inside of that four-person pod. And it looks to me, because Webb and Patrick did play in the practice pod, I know that for a fact. I like I don't know if you're going through games, but I like the Thomas Fowler combination. It appears to me that Mark Leishman in that opening match, he's kind of the shepherd who took out Joaquin Niemann and blooded him early on round one. Now he's got Haotong Li for the first time. I think that's going to be a dynamite pairing, because Leishman's kind of easygoing with a quick sense of humor and he's a real easy guy to play alongside. And Li is just all sorts of personality, lots of charisma and stuff. So that could be an interesting game that I'm looking forward to watching.
Yeah, Mark Leishman has now been paired with a rookie all three sessions. So you are absolutely correct, Mark. He is just kind of taking the shepherd's role for the international squad. You know, Kyle, for me, looking at these, I guess I'm a little bit surprised to not see Louis play, but if he's going to get rest, that's fine. Still surprised that now this is going to be the second out of three sessions that Cam Smith isn't going to play. For a guy who has great success in Australia, he's on home turf. He looks to be a shepherd of types for showing everybody, you know, where to hit the ball. Here's where you can land it. Played well enough today. I'm a little bit surprised to not see him back out there.
I would have liked to see Cam and Hideki against Reed and Webb. That'd have been delightful. No, I'm with you. I thought he was really good early. He chipped in on one, made the putt on two for birdie, and you're like, wow, they might Stephen Ames these guys. It might be 9 and 8 here, but you know, I thought he faded a little down the stretch. But yeah, I think I agree with you that I don't know. Like, who are you gonna take out of there? Like, you gonna? Breadman was great yesterday. you can't take Answer out. You can't take Sun God. You can't take.
Can you believe we're now at the point where, okay, 2 days ago, we were like, the USA is so deep. You can swap literally anyone. And now we're looking at the international squad and we're like, who can you take out of this lineup?
I love it.
So good.
It's so good.
I'll just say this because you asked about Louis. Let's not forget This is a guy that travels with his own mattress because he's battled a very tender back his entire life. So maybe there's a little protection there because four balls, you know, you could put someone like a Lee in there and you can sort of hide someone, I guess. You're going to see where he stays and rested in the afternoon. That I'm convinced, and obviously in the singles. He'll be up first, that somewhere in a beefy spot in the lineup, just to sort of be one of the counterpun guys for Kepner and anything else.
Yeah. All right. Well, as we did last night, here's the last thing I'm going to ask you guys. You've got to pick the one matchup that you're most looking forward to. I'll start here. I think there's a lot of compelling ones. I'm going to take the Xander Cantlay versus Sungjae and Abraham Answer. That's an easy one. I mean, again, on paper, that Xander Cantlay pairing, should be plenty good enough to beat Sungjae and Abraham Answer, but those two have been so good. I think this is almost, I don't want to call it a David versus Goliath or anything like that, but this is a really compelling matchup for me that I'm looking forward to. Kyle, what say you?
I'll go JT Ricky against Hao Tong and Mark Leishman. JT might shoot a 64 tomorrow. I mean, anything's in play. I do love that second one also, the Cantlay X and Sungjae and Father Abraham. So, but I'll say JT and Ricky.
All right, Mark, take us home.
You must forgive me because Spoke apparently lose trouble with his mattress anymore. He confirmed that last week at the Australian Open. But you were talking about David and Goliath. Well, you've been calling him Sun God. This is Goliath. This is God, okay? That match number two, I can't take my eyes off this. Answer is a gritty campaigner. He's 2-0. Sungjae is an incredible ball striker with a wonderful demeanor. Cantlay and Xander look like they've found a little bit of their groove. So I think you're going to see a match there that goes the distance and four balls. You're going to see a number of birdies if the weather permits.
All right. That'll do it for us. We've got a long day, two sessions ahead of us tomorrow, so we're going to get some sleep. I'd like to thank both Mark Immelman, who you can follow on Twitter. It is @Mark_Immelman, and Kyle Porter, who is on Twitter @KylePorterCBS, and we'll see you next time.
Hey, real quick. The only thing I was thinking when Reed was doing the shovel thing today Oosthuizen could show him what a real shovel looks like. Bring one of his excavators out there and just start digging up the grounds.
Actually, the international team, between Louis excavating and Leishman with the greens, with the, you know, the grass covered, they could have a pretty good golf course, I think.
I couldn't figure out how to get that in a tweet, so I had to slip it in the podcast.
Hey, I'd right now manicuring the grounds on the 18th hole there for tomorrow, the two of them.
I love it. All right, boys, get some sleep. We'll talk tomorrow.
That's great.
All right.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Oh, magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.